This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It started with a Chicago First Lady, a vacant lot in the heart of downtown, and a great idea for working with teenagers. Now it's a nonprofit citywide institution. This week, we take a good look at the history and the success of After School Matters. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. I'm really starting to feel my age when I realize that there are adults in Chicago who don't remember the undeveloped lot of prime real estate downtown that came to be known as Block 37. But that's where the story of Chicago's thriving after-school programs began, and it's come a long way since those days, three decades ago. In fact, After School Matters will be celebrating its 35th anniversary in Chicago next year, and we thought this would be a good time to look back and look ahead. My guests are well-positioned to help with that. Melissa Mister is After School Matters Chief of Strategy and Staff. She was a founding school principal in the early days of the program. She's been a leader in developing after-school offerings for this city. And with her is Tony Diaz, the Chief of Programs for After School Matters. He's been with the organization since 2008 and specializes in developing partnerships, among other things. We're conducting this interview via Zoom conferencing, and I thank both of you for joining me. Melissa Mister, for people who don't know the story, take us back to the beginning when there were tents on that vacant lot.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you so much for having us this morning. We really appreciate it. So First Lady Maggie Daly spearheaded After School Matters, and she was really interested in making sure at a time back then, I don't know if some of us remember, the schools were cutting arts and sports programs and to a large degree. And so she was really interested in making sure that all teens, you know, she knew that resource teens had access to programs outside of school, someone was paying for them, but under-resourced teens, not so much the case. And she wanted to make sure that teenagers of all ages had something productive to do after school. And that's where After School Matters was born. So back in those early days in 1991, like you said, there was the vacant lot, there were the big white tents that some of us remember walking by, and there were about 300 teens there working alongside working artists and learning different arts, painting and sculpture and all of those kind of things, and being paid a stipend to do so. Since then, we've grown to serve now over the last 34 years, over 400,000 teens in programs, and not just arts programs, but a wide range of different content areas, everything from culinary programs to civic engagement programs to STEM programs, robotics and coding and weldings, trades programs, just the whole range. So it really is pretty phenomenal when you think about how much the organization has grown over the past 35 years.
I have been amazed to see it myself. And it probably helped to have Mayor Richard Daley's wife at the forefront at the very beginning. But the idea seemed to catch on regardless. You've touched on some of this, and let me bring Tony Diaz into this. But talk about how it caught on and expanded beyond what started out as just the visual arts.
So as Melissa mentioned, you know, we've grown our offerings. We started as an arts-based organization. And we then started to infuse sports programming as the school systems were not having as many out of school time programs. There was more limited funding. And so After School Matters really, was pivotal in offering more enrichment opportunities for high school teens specifically. What's also unique about our program is our teens are paid a stipend. So since the inception of, starting in 1991, that's been something that's been very important, is making sure that we're providing that stipend to eliminate any barriers that any of our young people may have to access programs that may want to participate. And through our programs, not only are teens gaining those content skills, right, but they're also building confidence. They're learning essential life skills. These are safe spaces for our teens. I'm actually an alumni of After School Matters. I am a proud CPS alum as well, and participated back when I was in high school, and have now been working at the organization providing opportunities in the same community that I, was raised in, as well as across the city. And so, again, we do provide programs in communities, where underserved communities in Chicago. We really want to make sure that we're, again, providing that access.
I am really thrilled to have an alumni with us. Tell me what your fondest memory is of working as a teenager in this program.
So it's interesting because, a lot of our teens, we hear about programs, word of mouth, friends. So that's how I actually came to learn about After School Matters and how I began to participate. My friends were into breakdancing and hip hop culture. And so they brought me along. I actually was a big sports geek at the time. And but got into the breakdance kind of space through friends. But I think what was most unique about it is, it wasn't just, I'm not a breakdancer now. It will not show you those skills. But at the end of the day, I think what was helpful is having those caring adults, right? Those instructor mentors that had that industry background that, I know for my friends that were really into the art form, really learned a lot about, some of them became instructors for ASM or went on and taught, in dance. And so I think it really exposed them to careers that would be available to something that they're really passionate about. And I think for me, I took away, many essential life skills. I may not have gone the route of being a breakdancer, but now that I'm in, working at After School Matters, really understanding the value of programs like this that really bring a lot of benefit to young people that may not have a support system at home, that may not have those mentors that are helping guide them. And so I think early on in my, as a teen, I saw that value. I think mentorship was something that was big for me. And I think I saw that through the program, and I was able to gain other skills like working in a team, building leadership, and also just like communication skills, presentation skills. And so that those were valuable experiences. But I think, again, what I took from it was seeing how my peers at the time were able to really benefit and develop career paths as a result of their participation in the program.
I want to ask one more overview question before we talk about some of the programs themselves. And that is that it's not just one institution, although Gallery 37, which is what it was when it started, became an actual place, and still is, I guess, and to some degree. But it's a lot of places now. Melissa, Mister, can you talk about that?
For sure. So we provide programs via partnership with 200 community-based organizations, as well as programs that are run by ASM instructors, so that we've got programs in high schools across the city, at community-based organization locations, and at our three buildings, ASM buildings. So we've got a building in the Belmont Cragen community, we've got a building at Gately Park in the Pullman community, and we've got our Gallery 37 location. And really exciting news, we will be opening our newest location in the Cabrini community late this year. So that between our school locations, community-based organizations, we work in park district sites and at our own buildings, we are in every community in the city of Chicago to make sure that all teens have access, no matter where they are, to great high quality programs.
Now, correct my memory if it is faulty, but I remember it starting not necessarily as after school, but a summer program. What drove the expansion of it to the schools themselves? How did that, and I know you were a principal at the time, but how did that come about where it became an after-school program as opposed to a wonderful summer program that I remember reporters going to because there was like a graduation, if not a concert, it was a graduation celebration every summer.
That's right. So we think it's important to be there for teens anytime that school is out. So when school is out, After School Matters is in. So that those hours after school, those are critical hours, not just hours for teens to be productive, but they're also critical hours to make sure that teens are safe. So the after school hours and the summer hours are times when we think it's most important that our programs are available to teens in Chicago. And so that's the idea behind being both after school and in the summertime. During the summer, we're able to be with teens for longer days, more weeks, and they're able to dig in even more deeply. During the fall and the spring, they're with us, you know, 2.5 to 3 hours after school each day. And, you know, again, we think that those are times when we want to make sure that teens are doing something positive and productive and that they're safe.
And let me ask first, how do you get the money to finance this? Because I suspect some of it came from the city at the beginning, some of it still does, but you're bigger than that now.
So that we are absolutely partners with the city on making sure that youth have the opportunities that they deserve and need. And we also are very fortunate to get great support from the state, but we also have a lot of philanthropic support. So lots of corporate and other philanthropic partners who care and believe in the importance of supporting Chicago teens who also contribute to our being able to provide our opportunities.
And let me ask the director of programs, how do you guide what kinds of programs you should have and what kids want, frankly?
So we hear our teens are at the core of all that we do. And so Teen Voice is really important. We survey our teens at the end of every session as we're exploring new sites that we're looking to offer programs, whether it's schools or community partners that reach out to us. We're able to really gauge what the interest of young people is in those communities that we serve so that we're offering programs that we know they are interested in. And we're also, what's important is we want to remain and, you know, look at those industry trends. And so Melissa mentioned earlier that we're now offering more programs like welding or plumbing. So we want to also create pathways for what's happening in the workforce so that our young people can get exposure to those different opportunities. So programs like artificial intelligence. So we're always, looking to see what's trending in careers, what young people are interested in, so that we can create those opportunities for them.
In looking at the kinds of programs and the kinds of skills, I think if kids just learned those skills and didn't see a future for them, they would sour on them. So you have to also, I gather, be looking at and maybe partnering with industry?
Absolutely. So a big part of what we do is about providing exposure, right? So when you're a young person, you've got interests, you've got ideas, but you need an opportunity to go test things out, to try things out. So we offer opportunities to go try it out, see if it's a good fit for you. If it's not, we still count it as a success because you've learned something about yourself. Teens at that age are on a road to self-discovery, and it's our responsibility to provide them opportunities to explore, try things, and figure out what's a good fit for them. We say it all the time that our programs are, they're really asset-based. We focus on the individual strengths and skills and cultures that teens bring to program. They are amazingly talented just as they are, but it's our responsibility to continue to support them so they can grow and develop and thrive today and into the future. So that it really is about exposure, opportunities, and then once they do find what their thing is, they can really dig into it and they can get really good at it. And that's where those partnerships come into play. So if you have a young person who, you know, they think they're into coding. They learn some about coding. They find out, yes, this kind of is my thing. We have partnerships with the Googles and other places where they can really go and explore it further. And we can kind of do handoffs to next step opportunities for teens. It's the same thing for the trades. We are really digging in recently to looking into, we know teens are interested in the trades, more so now than maybe in some of the past years. And so we provided program opportunities for them to explore. Some will decide it's what they want to pursue, but it's our job to then look for partnerships for the soft handoff to the next step opportunity. And that really applies to all of our content areas.
You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore, and we're talking about the renowned program called After School Matters. We're talking with ASM's Chief of Programs, Tony Diaz, and Melissa Mister, After School Matters Chief of Strategy and Staff. Tony Diaz, let me ask you about if you can give me an example or two of success stories from partnerships that you went into, that ASM went into, and that worked at least as well, if not better, than you would have hoped.
Right. I mean, I think one thing that I'll talk about is our buildings, right? We mentioned that we now have 3 locations, and those locations have been, you know, one thing that we've learned over the years is that having young people explore different opportunities, they have an opportunity to explore different programs. But they're also looking at and seeing what other teens, their peers, are doing in those spaces. And so as part of developing these teen centers, we've really asked our teens what works, right? And so before we've had these spaces constructed or renovated, we've gotten feedback from our teens to really help us understand what the spaces should look like, what type of programs we should bring in. And then what we've been noticing is a lot of our teens, you know, they go to different programs. Some of them stay for the four years in the same program. But what we're seeing in our buildings is that they work for our teens. It helps them build community. They tell us that they have a great, you know, their confidence. You might see a teen their first year be a little more shy, and then they have flourished over the years to be the leader of their programs and serve as mentors for younger kids that come through the programs. And so we're seeing great success. And Melissa mentioned we have our new building in the Cabrini neighborhood that we're hoping to open in fall of 25. And so that's going to be another space where we're excited to bring more opportunities for young people in Chicago.
Now, are these buildings multifunctional, or are there specialties for the different buildings?
There are a range of program offerings at each of our building locations. So the idea is that the buildings are a safe space for young people. So there are community spaces where teens can come in as soon as they finish school. They've got a place to decompress, to have something to eat, and then go to their various programs. And the buildings are, we're really proud of making sure that we provide state-of-the-art facilities to our teens. So there are specialized program spaces, tech labs that are properly equipped, dance rooms. We've got a black box theater at one of our buildings, and will be in our new building as well. We've got a gym in the new building, which is a big deal. There's so many teens who are attracted to sports and wellness programs. There are art studios. So just making sure that teens have access to specialized spaces that are well equipped to really go hard on their interests, their areas of interest, but also a place to be safe and commune with one another and their instructor mentors.
And I should ask about how you know that After School Matters is having a significant effect on the lives of these young participants. And I know you all actually, just as people like to say, you have to produce receipts. You guys actually do study how well it's working.
Absolutely. And we love that question because we do study. We do collect a lot of data around our impact on teens. And what we find is that, you know, around 90% of our teens have a plan for post-secondary, what they want to do after high school. That's huge. We find that the same, around 90% of our teens report that they're more hopeful about their futures based upon participation in programs. This is a time when we're hearing lots of research and data about feelings of hopelessness amongst teens. And I don't think there's anything more sad than hearing that people that young, teens that young, are not feeling hopeful about their futures. ASM teens report at really high levels that they do feel hopeful because they've got plans. They've got things that they're looking to do next. And we think that's wonderful. We also hear teens have their teens who are interested both in college, but also have access to other post-secondary options. So we expose them to the whole range, and they say that they're aware of their options, they've got plans, and they're hopeful about their futures, and those that we think are hugely important impact to be measuring.
One thing that I'll note also, in addition to what Melissa said, we heard from our teens during the pandemic that mental health was a real thing, right? Obviously, we knew it was there. And so we had a partnership with Adler University where we offer mental health supports for our teens. So our instructors can access those services to provide psychotherapy groups for young people if there's things going on in their communities and they want that additional support. We also provide training to our instructors around trauma-informed practice as well as through this partnership. But we're also providing telehealth services. So our young people, if they need to have individualized support, they can access that as well. And so that's been a really, I know you mentioned, like, what are some partnerships we're really proud of? That's one that I think we definitely wanted to lean into when the pandemic hit. And we wanted to make sure that we provided those services to our young people.
Well, let me see how hopeful you are about the future for the program itself from your perspective, because we're also at a time when funding and, you know, even philanthropy is being challenged by the both the political and the economic landscape. How hopeful are you that these kinds of things are going to be able to continue?
Yeah, so we do remain hopeful, and I'll tell you why. So I want to go back to your question before about outcomes for our teens. Our teens are also reporting that they've gained both technical skills and skills, essential life and career skills, right? So these are skills like confidence and being able to communicate and to plan and overcome obstacles when they present themselves. We believe that there are enough people out there who really do value these opportunities for teens and the impact that it's having on teens, so that we are absolutely recognizing this as a time that's difficult for philanthropy, but we're also looking to people to support differently now, understanding what we're up against, but also understanding how critically important it is that we support our youth. Chicago teens are the future of the city of Chicago. And so we really are looking to up the philanthropic support for people to really tap in and say, you know, this could be a pivotal time, but we can absolutely continue to be there for teens. And we intend to be here and show up for teens in Chicago, because we have to. We endured the pandemic, and it was a time when it was especially difficult to, you know, quickly adjust and figure out how we're going to continue to show up. But we didn't miss a beat, because what we knew is that we had to continue to show up for Chicago teens. And we're looking at this time very similarly. We absolutely will make a way, but it requires the support of the whole city. When teens realize that, you know, the whole city is rallying behind them and believing in the importance of supporting them, it makes a difference. And I think anyone who, you know, has a stake in the future of the city of Chicago knows that investing in our teens is critical to that future success.
How do you make sure that the visibility of the program stays high? You know, there was something magical about having this thing in the middle of the city, in the middle of downtown, but now it is in the schools, it is in the neighborhoods. How do you make sure that people know about it? How do you make sure that you're reaching all of the young people who need to be reached?
Well, I'll say first that we appreciate your having us on today, because that's a part of making sure that folks know about the great work and know how amazing Chicago teams are. So we appreciate you for having us here today. But we also, again, have those flagship locations. We do a ton, I should say our teens do a ton of showcasing their wonderful work at the end of each program session. So you may see us this summer out on Daly Plaza, teens performing and showing off all that they've learned over the course of their program. You may see events advertised for teens to show off their STEM projects or their civic leadership projects, that kind of thing. And we also do quite a bit of being present at schools and at all the places where we know teens are. We go to where they are to make sure that they know about program opportunities. And I think Tony said it earlier today, we rely quite a bit on the power of word of mouth. So if folks are listening today, aunts, uncles, grandmas, friends, neighbors, we really do ask that you reach out to young people in your life. Let them know that After School Matters is there to support them. There are so many wonderful program opportunities to learn and grow and have an instructor mentor and to meet other teens who have similar interests and build community with them. It really is a wonderful opportunity that if there are young people in your life, we highly recommend that you let them know that they can go to our website and just see a ton of information, but also apply to programs.
And what is that website?
It's afterschoolmatters.org.
Let's talk about what the next steps are. You're about to celebrate 35 years, and the program is reaching out, but where do you go from here? What can the next thing be?
You know, it's interesting you ask that question, because the next thing, we have ideas, obviously, but we keep our ear close to teens. So the teens largely let us know what's next. We know we're going to be there for them. With this new building is a huge next thing for us, a new opportunity to be in a new community and have teens have access again to this state-of-the-art facility and learn all that they can in that space. But we also make sure we keep abreast of what teen interests are and what the workplace looks like going forward. So a combination of those two, that really guides where we go. So we want to listen to and be responsive to what it is that teens need from us. But I would say that the next new really big thing is opening our new building later this year.
But are you finding,
like I would say,
oh no, go ahead. No, please, Tony, go ahead.
And I was going to say, just to add to what Melissa said, like she said the right word, we were always responsive to our teens and what's happening in our communities. That really helps us, you know, over the last 34 years, what's really helped us to continue to grow scale and continue to offer quality programming is that we're always looking at continuously improving the quality of our programs. That's something that's the core of what we do. And we want to make sure that we continue to provide that experience, that enriching experience for our teens to be engaged across the city.
Are you finding that the technology realm is catching more attention these days?
Absolutely. And I think that's where we're trying to be mindful of connecting. We're working with Google right now, offering an artificial intelligence programming for our teens. We offer coding programs, technology-based programs. And so we're always, as Melissa said, keeping our ears to the ground to really be able to offer those opportunities for young people across the city. And what's unique about us and what's great about our programs is that they're all project-based learning program opportunities. So young people are really getting, it's all hands-on learning. So, you know, they're really understanding more around those different career paths so that, and they're learning about different career paths within a certain industry. So that, for example, let's say in a theater program, it's not just about being an actor. They might be working in the back of house or set design. So we're trying to provide exposure to careers that young people may not be as familiar with or aware about so that we can create that awareness and accessibility to those spaces.
And Melissa, to finish this off, when you were a school principal back when this program came to your attention, how do you feel looking at where it was and seeing what it's become?
It's amazing to see the growth over the years, but I will say as a former school principal, After School Matters is such a critical partner to Chicago Public Schools. We partner with the schools and we have a really great relationship. And we really do realize that, you know, there's so much that happens in the schools and there's so much need for what happens after school in the summer as well. And I think, again, we've got a fantastic relationship and we appreciate so much the support from our partners at Chicago Public Schools. We appreciate so much the city support, the state support. We feel very fortunate to be where we are doing the work that we do. And I can't say enough, as a principal, I know firsthand how important it is to have partnerships with both in school and out of school time entities, because we've got to serve young people all the time and we've got to show up for them and they deserve it. And again, I have to say it over and over again, they're so incredibly talented and wonderful that if we do our part, just sit back and watch, they will just amaze us over and over again. They do it in programs all the time.
Well, I want to thank you. Thank you, Melissa Mister and Tony Diaz of After School Matters, for spending this time with us. To our listeners, if you'd like a copy of this program or just to hear it again, please visit our website. That's WBBMNewsRadio.com. There's a link on the homepage, and you can also find our podcasts on Odyssey.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.